Hello again, I'm Kathleen Dunn, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Wednesday, the 16th of March. This hour of the program, everybody's back in the state, except for people who will be going to fundraisers tomorrow to get money for what seems to be a constant election cycle in the state of Wisconsin. We will talk about that. I think, though, after last hour and the sobering nature of last hour, we will start our conversation with nuclear power and plants in the state of Wisconsin. This hour, we thought it was time to hear from Democrats and Republicans who serve us in our legislature to talk about all that's been going on, and if they're able to get together now to work on some issues that we face in the state of Wisconsin. What about jobs coming back to the state? What about this constant election cycle? What about recall elections taking place? Is this what's going to consume all of us now instead of making Wisconsin better? We'll have two guests with us this hour. John Erpenbach will join us, Democratic State Senator from Middleton, and joining us later this hour, Gary Bies, Republican State Representative from Sister Bay, Wisconsin. We'll be welcoming phone calls. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Our email address is talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. John Erpenbach, hello. Thanks very much for being with us.
Hi, Kathleen. How are you?
Hi. I'm all right. How are you?
I'm all right.
Well, good. I want to start with nuclear power because we just finished an hour on this, and I'm kind of absorbed, as many of us are, by this issue, horror in Japan. Is there a debate going on in Madison about nuclear power in Wisconsin and whether or not that moratorium on plant construction should be lifted? Is this something we need to be concerned about?
Well, nothing started up yet. I think whenever it's come to discussion about power or energy as a whole in the state, it's always focused on alternative forms, not necessarily nuclear at all, but more so whether it's wind or whether it's manure digesters or solar or so on. I think that, if we go down the road of debate on that, hopefully that's what we'll focus on. Because, you talk about something that's renewable in this state. We have what we need. But so far, based on what's going on in Japan, and it's just, heartbreaking to watch that.
It's
really hard to comprehend what's happened there. Nothing's really come up yet, but that doesn't mean that it won't.
Right. All right. Well, you're back in the state, and I'm not sure if everybody's going to get along. Senator Ellis said the name of the game now is moving the state forward.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the name of the game?
Well, yeah, it is. It all depends on how legislators want to take a look at what's happened and where we go. For me personally, I've always basically never been personal when it comes to the debate because I like a lot of these guys and women that I work with on both sides of the aisle. And, this issue, while the issue isn't done yet, at least on the budget repair bill, that debate's going to go on. But we have a responsibility to move on to other debates. And legislators who I may not work with or may not work with me on one issue doesn't mean that that's not going to be the case on the very next issue that's coming up.
Yeah.
So, we have a responsibility to get along as best as we can. And there's, just by its very nature, Kathleen, the arena that we're placed in a round room with 33 very strong, opinionated people.
Yes.
On all sorts of issues, and this is going to happen. But it's not like we need to call in Dr. Phil, or anything like that. I do think we're going to be okay.
Maybe you should call in Dr. Phil.
That would be talking about things going back in childhood, and I don't think you want that.
Oh, maybe it's necessary at this point. How many public hearings, Senator Erpenbach, will there be on the budget?
I know Joint Finance has to schedule, I don't know what the exact number is. I would imagine they're going to have at least three or four around the state. They'll have a few in Madison, and then they'll spread out. And I think they've set a schedule, but I'm not certain yet. But it will certainly have more than one hearing. And debate as far as testifying is concerned, there'll be time limits because a lot of people want to talk. But at the very least, it won't be a situation with a budget repair bill where they have one hearing, then cut off testimony after 13 hours. I mean, the biennial budget has a process that it will go through, and it'll be we'll be debating it and talking about it in the state for the next few months.
And will there be hearings all over the state, John?
Yeah, normally that's the case. And again, the chairs of finance get together and figure out where they want to go. And they take, you know, essentially take the show on the road. And I don't know if that schedule has been set yet or not. I think it probably has been, but I'm not certain.
I would imagine you're going to have a lot of interest in this all over the state.
Yeah, and you do with any budget.
Sure.
But this one, you're right. This one in particular, given the amount of cuts that schools are looking at, given the amount of cuts that shared revenue is looking at for municipalities, given what's going on with the governor's proposal to split off Madison from the UW system, that there's a lot. It's a buffet for everyone out there. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. And when you look at those cuts, which are of most concern to you?
The cuts to K-12 education, the cuts to shared revenue are on my radar screen, in part because, you know, if you take a look at what happened with the budget repair bill with the collective bargaining language, I'm keeping a very close eye on what local units of government are going to have to do when it comes to the issue of just essentially having employees. If shared revenue is cut and the levy has been capped, you know, it's still, I'm looking at it this way, you can lay off snowplow drivers, but it's still going to snow. So I'm keeping an eye on the idea that we have a lot of large corporate interests who have registered in the state and hired lobbyists, and these corporations basically provide prison services to states, they provide health and human services to states. You know, the Koch brothers have five lobbyists, so I'm keeping an eye on that. But there's all sorts of other things. I'm trying to figure out why spinning off Madison from the UW system is good. I haven't really had a chance to take a look at that. But there's all sorts of things in the budget that are hidden that, you know, we'll see the light of day at some point throughout the debate. And, you know, what might be the hot issue today might be something completely different tomorrow.
Yeah. As you know, I'm talking to you from Milwaukee, where there is some talk now about consolidation of services, firefighters perhaps being able to get trucks serviced in Shorewood, or maybe even combined services of fire and police in Shorewood and Whitefish Bay,
right,
and maybe some other counties. Is that a good response to a fiscal crisis?
Well, I know that there's always ways to pop, well, not always. I would assume that there are ways to do things better. There may be a situation where, given what's going on, if you've got a couple of municipalities right next to each other and there's a duplication of services, there's nothing wrong to have those two municipalities take a look at where they could possibly save money and at the same time provide the service that people depend on. But that's something that the local government should be able to do on their own. They shouldn't have to do this as a result of a budget crisis. They should constantly be looking for ways to do it. And I know school districts do that. You know, whether it's sharing purchasing services or some administrative services, they should always be able to take a look at that. But at the same time, the bottom line is, in the state, given what we pay in taxes, people have come to rely on good public service. You know, whether it's the roads, whether it's the snow plowing, whether it's fire, EMT, police, whatever the case may be, people have come to depend on that. And we do pay a lot of taxes in this state, and obviously we expect something for our money.
Yeah.
But you don't want a situation where, you know, a governor, whether it's a Democrat or a Republican governor, coming in and slashing and burning and then giving you the tools that you don't want to begin with to lay people off, because the work still needs to be done.
I know a lot of people who are teachers in the MPS system, and our kids went to MPS schools, and, you know, they get bashed all the time, and they shouldn't, because there's a lot of great education. It's just there are a lot of problems in MPS, and there are many, many people who are worried, Senator Urbanbach, about what the future of this system is, with a focus on choice schools and charter schools and privatization of the system. Do we face in Milwaukee just sort of a disintegration of a public school system, or is that overstating it?
I don't know if it's overstating it or not. I know that there are people who love to bash MPS.
Yes, there are.
But when you're doing that, I'm not saying you, Kathleen, but when somebody does that, you're not necessarily bashing the system. You're bashing, you know, for the most part, extremely dedicated, hardworking, wonderful teachers. You are bashing parents who are involved. You are bashing the kids who attend those schools. I remember I was on the education committee last session, and we held a hearing about the big battle about what to do with MPS. And the education committee consisted of five guys who don't live anywhere near Milwaukee. And we're down there, and we're listening to the testimony, and it's very passionate in Milwaukee about what to do with the public school system. But to be honest with you, I'm not in a position, even on the education committee, to make a decision as to what needs to be done. This is something where, I believe the answer for MPS lies within administration, within the teachers, and most importantly, within the parents.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody has an opinion about MPS, but in the meantime, it doesn't mean that we should take our focus away from what MPS is supposed to be doing, and that's educating kids as best as they possibly can and getting them ready for the next step in their educational career.
When you
have a situation where you make it easier for a choice school to cherry-pick who they want, when you make it easier to sift the tax dollars away from MPS and funnel them into a private school type of a setting, that hurts everybody. What happens in the end, Kathleen, is you're comparing apples to oranges when you talk about test scores in the private choice schools versus the public schools, and it's not fair.
Let's go to phone calls. We have tons of them, as you might imagine. John in Grand Rapids. Hi. John, are you there? Yeah. Oh, there we go. I didn't press the button, John. It's my fault. Hi, John.
Good morning.
Hi.
Regarding the $137 million tax break to encourage jobs to come into Wisconsin, what kind of jobs are we talking about? Any takers? Is the government going to count when local governments start privatizing out public services as new jobs? I mean, could you comment on that a little bit?
No, that's a real good question. First of all, the tax breaks that you're talking about were pieces of legislation that both Democrats and Republicans voted for the most part, that's supposed to entice companies to come here. I haven't seen any result of that yet, and I think one of the bills, I'd be surprised if any businesses actually take us up on it. But I think you bring up a really good point, that if local units of government and state government have to lay off public employees, the work will still need to be done, contractors will come in, and I wouldn't be surprised if the governor counts that as job growth. But that's the cynic in me. We're at a real crossroads here, and the crossroads being that, in this state we tend to try and sit down and work things out, and we can't do that on this one, and everybody will have to pick a side. There's no gray area. And so when the governor talks about 250,000 jobs, that would be awesome, but if you're replacing one of the new jobs with somebody who used to do that job, whether it's plowing the snow or whatever, that doesn't count. I mean, that simply doesn't count.
I wonder how much, John, anybody can get done where we're now facing a series of recall elections. There are a lot of ads on television trying to persuade people to one point of view or another. We're in this constant reelection cycle. There are fundraisers taking place and legislators going to Washington, to St. Patrick's Day bashes to raise money. I mean, how are you going to deal with the people's business when you're facing reelection all the time?
Well, we are in a very unique time in history. There's no doubt about that. I didn't, if you would have talked to me in January, I wouldn't have expected to be in the situation that we're in right now. But we still have a responsibility to move forward as a legislative body and work on other things besides budgetary matters. There's a lot of other stuff coming. Some stuff people will like, some they won't. I mean, we haven't even begun to see the social agenda yet, but it'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
But we still, despite what's going on with the recalls and so on, and I think some will happen and some won't, we still need to function. And, we did the thing in Illinois, knowing full well that some of us could lose our jobs over it, but we felt that strongly about it. And the legislation coming up that we're going to be dealing with, it's not that we're going to do the same thing, but, some of the debate's going to be pretty loud. And, again, we're willing to put our jobs on the line for what we believe in. I think anybody in our situation would. But we still, like you say, despite the recalls, despite everything, there's still things that we need to do. And I got to believe we're mature enough to be able to handle that. If we don't, then obviously we'll be seeing some new faces.
Yeah. And how was Illinois?
Well, I was there probably about 2.5 weeks longer than anybody probably should be. it was interesting. I mean, it was interesting. I wouldn't recommend it for that long, but you know that in the end, Kathleen, it was the only way we're going to be able to engage the other side to actually debate the issue.
Well, I think you all should have gone to Springfield. Everybody should have gone to Springfield to be inspired by Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah. I've been to Springfield. Have you?
I love Springfield.
Do you
John.
Really?
Yes, I do.
But
because
you really, you need to get out more, don't you? There's this whole world out there, Kathleen.
Oh, I could go to Springfield once a month.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, John from Grand Rapids, for your call. John Erpenbach, Democratic State Senator, is our guest. We have a Republican State Representative, Gary Breeze, joining us. Gary Bies, sorry, joining us from Sister Bay. Never talked to him before, as you may notice, because I mispronounced his name. But I'm looking forward to talking to him. We got to get people together. We got to get moving forward, as Senator Ellis said, and I think he's right. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We return to phone calls. Brad in Waupaca. Hi, Brad.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Hi, Brad.
This is extremely frustrating. And I guess I would ask the senator, how do we move ahead? How do we come together when our governor yesterday in Wausau says that he's talking to the real people, the workers in that factory, and essentially discounts hundreds of thousands of hardworking public employees and other people in the state who don't support him. He says that the protests this past weekend were organized by union thugs from Washington, D.C. With that kind of rhetoric from our governor, how do we possibly come together as a state and move ahead?
Well, you know, that's a great question, but I firmly believe we can. You know, I've lived in Wisconsin. I'm 50 years old now, and I've lived in Wisconsin my entire life, and I have a pretty good idea of how we feel about things, as you know, the rest of us do. We have our debates on issues, and at the end of the day, we, you know, try and find a way to move forward, and I firmly believe that we can. What the governor needs to realize is something that a lot of us know already. We all live here. We all do. And we all love the state.
Yes, we do.
And we all have solid ideas, or we think solid ideas, for what we want to do to move us forward. But what the governor, again, seems to not quite get, or maybe he does and he's doing it intentionally, is you don't divide a state and then try and move forward and pretend that people who are showing up in Madison with their kids or their grandparents protesting, or people showing up in Green Bay, are union thugs from Washington, D.C., because they're not. These are people who care. These are people who understand the issues, and these are people who may not like or may like what the governor wants to do. I mean, liking or not liking isn't even the issue. You have to be able to acknowledge the fact that, you know, the governor has taken a very, very strong stand here and is not willing to compromise. So you can't discount and demean the people who provide public service in this state, the people who pay taxes in this state, the people who build our schools and roads in this state. Any governor, whether it's a Democrat or a Republican governor, has to understand we are an eclectic group here in this state, and we all deeply care about Wisconsin. If we didn't, we wouldn't be here. And hopefully that at some point in time he'll acknowledge that.
Thank you, Brad. Dave in Ellison Bay. Hi, Dave. Dave, you want to turn that old radio down? Hello, Dave. We'll ask you to do that. We'll put you on hold and get back with you. Fred from Wisconsin Rapids. Hi, Fred.
Oh, hi, guys.
Hi.
I just wanted to say I admired a Fab 14 and the delay that allowed the national news media to get attention. And thank goodness for the blogger that called in. And I told Judy Alassa that I'm going to buy her a gift for her baby when she delivers. But on another point, a long time ago, I graduated, and one of my poli-sci professors said that it's never good to have one political party in control of all three branches of the government. And we have that situation here in Wisconsin, overwhelmingly in Republican control. And then also, we have the Attorney General and the Supreme Court, which is supposed to be nonpartisan, also with a conservative bent. And I just wonder what his reaction is to what I'm saying. And I hope people really get out and vote for Kloppenberg for Supreme Court.
All right, Fred. Thanks for the call.
Well, first of all, our Attorney General is a Republican. And I have to tell you right up front, I really admire what he did throughout all of this. I know that he was under pressure to do whatever he could to track us down in Illinois and bring us back, and knowing full well we hadn't broken the law and we didn't violate a Senate rule. So I give a lot of credit to J.B. Van Hollen for the way he handled himself and his office during all of this. The Democrats, you know, under Governor Doyle and majority in both houses did some things, but in some of our minds, we didn't go far enough. Like, we couldn't get campaign finance reform passed for whatever reason. You know, every once in a while, it's going to be a situation where one party controls, you know, all three branches of government, and then that's just going to happen. The minority's role in that particular case is to make sure that people understand what direction the Democrat or the Republican majorities wants to take the state. In this particular case, I think if you ask anybody, the governor, well, not anybody, that's probably not right, but if you ask most people, they would agree the fact that Governor Walker has gone way too far in the first 2.5 months. The power grab that he's taken, not only when it comes to collective bargaining, but just basically the legislature rolling over and giving him authority to rewrite Badger Care and Senior Care without any sort of check at all, or the sale of state assets without any check at all, is too much. That's a case where, you know, the power is probably being, at least in my opinion, abused. So, you know, again, the role of the minority is becomes much louder in that particular situation, and sometimes the minority has to take some drastic steps, which is what we did, in order to make sure people understood. So you know, here's the deal. This is really quite simple to explain the situation that we're in. You have very diverse people at the Capitol, but they've all lined up on one side or the other. Within the past 2.5 months that Governor Walker's taken over, you know, we've turned away close to $1 billion in federal funding for high-speed rail. We passed the tax breaks, and we're at each other's throats. That's not a way to govern. I don't know how. And it's not like I want him to fail. I disagree with him. But if he fails, the rest of the state fails too. So you have to govern basically toward the middle and try and move as many people along as you possibly can. And this is not the way to do it.
Yeah, we are at each other's throats. That's just no way to live.
No, it's not.
No.
We got to enjoy the Super Bowl for about 20 seconds.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. Yeah. One more phone call. Dave, I hope you're there now in Allison Bay. Hi, Dave.
Yes, I am. Hold on a second. Let me get off the speakerphone here.
Oh, Dave. Dave, you're killing me. All right.
Sorry, I had my radio up before. But anyway.
All right.
First of all, I'd like to say, with respect to the previous caller, it wasn't that long ago when the other party had virtual total control of government, state government. But on that note, I'd like to say, too, that this is not, in my mind, and I should say I have no particular affection for either party. And one thing the governor has said that I think is almost inarguable, and that has to do with the both parties being responsible for kicking the can down the road, so to speak, with the state budget problems. But to me, this has become, unfortunately, about minorities and majorities, you know, rather than what's in the best interest of the state.
And what's in the best interest, Dave? We got about 30 seconds.
Well, here's my idea, and this was proposed to me by somebody else. One thing that hasn't been touched in 50 years is the tax on a barrel of beer. A 2 or 3 cent increase in that is my understanding that it would go a long way towards.
Hey, how about that, Senator Erpenbach?
I want to comment on the kicking the can down the road, and Governor Walker has said that both sides have done that, and he's right. But he's also picked up on that tradition, that $165 million refinancing that he talked about, that he said was so important, is $165 million payment that's due in May on our debt. And the legislature had already appropriated that money, and what the governor is doing is taking that money off the table, taking away the payment, and he's borrowing to pay that back, which is going to add about another $40 million over the life of that bond. So it's very insincere for the governor to stand up and say, fiscally, he is not kicking the can down the road, because that's exactly what he's doing.
What about a beer tax?
We need to take a look at it. I don't know what the actual numbers are. I don't think it, to quote Dave, goes a long way, but it certainly helps. I think anything helps right now. But it's something, you know, that's come up before under the guise of, if we're going to put a tax on, increase the tax on beer, that it should go toward, you know, measures that prevent drunk driving and so on.
Righto.
So,
Do it tomorrow when everybody's drinking all day and then when they should be reading Irish poetry. Just do a one-day tax, well, yeah. Right?
That's why not a lot of people hang out with you, Catherine. I'm just kidding.
Goodbye. No, right. Thank you for being with us.
Talk to you later.
Yeah, I do. You know, I'm a Springfield kind of gal who reads Irish poetry, and we're going to do it tomorrow on St. Patrick's Day. It's all right. There's a lot of great poetry. Lincoln was a great man. We this hour talking about how it is, as Senator Ellis has suggested, that we move forward in this state and not be at each other's throats. We've had some incredible at each other throats emails, which I will read to you at the end of this next half hour. We thought it very important to get, you know, Democrat and Republican to talk about how we move forward in this state. And our next guest is a Republican state representative from Sister Bay, beautiful part of the state of Wisconsin. Representative Gary Bies is with us, and we'll welcome phone calls for him as well. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655, and our email address is talk@wpr.org. Representative Bies, I appreciate your being with us. Thank you so much.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning to you. Tell me, Senator Ellis has called for the Republicans, Democrats, it's time for us to move forward. We got to stop being at each other's throats. Is it time to move forward, and how, considering the wildly different approaches to government that we have, can we move forward? What can we do to help everybody in the state?
Well, I think moving forward is long overdue. We've got tangled up here in the last month with this strong debate and hearings. And I know I've never been in a 62-hour hearing before, but it was quite difficult at times. I think there's a great ability to get along. You know, I saw it even during the debates, even though there was somebody on the floor doing a passionate speech on their position. There were still, bipartisan conversations going on back in the parlor with all sorts of members. So, you know, it's part of the, I don't know, political theater that goes on. I know it got heated at points, but people were still talking on other subjects. And I know I've talked to doing the thing about other legislation I'm working on, and people, asking to be on bills and. All that type of stuff was happening still, even though we were in the middle of that other thing that was going on.
What are you working on?
Well, I have a synthetic marijuana bill that says, I believe, is quite important because a lot of communities have been forced to put different ordinances together, and this will be a state law that we've been working on since November. So we've had it out for co-sponsorship, and I think that's closed now, and we're moving forward on that. And we've got good bipartisan representation. Mm.
And where else can we get good bipartisan work? Where else can we do that?
Well, I think everybody's interested. We know what it's going to take to get us out of the economic situation we're in, and that's we need to create jobs. And I think there'll be
right.
a lot of bipartisan conversation, a lot of interest on both sides on different aspects on how we can get people to invest in creating jobs or bringing businesses to the state, because our two main drivers of the state is income tax and sales tax, and the sales tax comes along with be able to have a job and earn money to spend money. So if we can get those to get the jobs going, then the second will follow, and I think we will work ourselves out of this economic problem we're in.
You are in one of the most beautiful parts of the state of Wisconsin. The whole Door County area is gorgeous, and I've spent many, many years there since I was a months there since I was a kid. Let's talk about tourism and its importance. I know the governor met with tourist representatives from all over the state recently. Can we grow that industry, and can we grow it in Door County?
Yes, I think we're ready for some growth. We've had some stagnant years. I know I'm also involved in a small business that depends on tourism, and the summer was slow, but we had a pretty good fall, and I think we're set to welcome a lot of visitors to Door County. If we hope with the high gas prices, sometimes it creates an interest in staying more local than going distance. So I'm hoping that will play a good role. I know we have a outstanding Door County Chamber of Commerce that have been doing their very best to make people aware of what Door County has to offer, and I hope the whole Northeast region will bring people to our state and also to our area.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that is of concern to me, and I think to some of our listeners, is that we seem to be in this constant state of elections. We just had a big election not very long ago, and now we're getting constant ads on television all over Wisconsin. There are fundraisers taking place because we have recall elections in the state. Do we just need to let this play out and be in a constant re-election cycle, or are you disturbed by that and we should think about it going another way?
Well, yeah, I am disturbed by that. We do have a democracy, and people get elected to do the job, and if you don't like the job that they're doing, there's a next election to change directions, and I think that's from my point of view, that's what we found in the last direction. A couple of years ago, when the governor made a state of the state, starting the prior term, he said the new increase would be no increase, and then we as Republicans, being in the minority in both houses, were faced with budgets that increased spending dramatically, and it was very difficult for us to try to tackle that issue, and we were getting no consideration on budget cuts. We felt that if we would have made the cuts that we offered, just modestly, we wouldn't be in the we wouldn't be as bad as what we are now. But that didn't happen. We were in a minority. We stayed there, and we spoke our piece, and we put our no votes out there, but we didn't succeed. We were in a minority, and that's the way it goes. And now the tables have switched because I think the people were looking for something else. They were looking for the more reasonable in spending dollars and cost of government, and that's what we've been trying to give them, and now we're going the other direction with the battles that we have. It's tough to take the credit card away from the spender, but it's some real tough love, and we got to find a good way of doing it.
Let's go to an email that's come in because I really do want for you to respond to this from Bill in Madison. It is very clear, he says, that taking away collective bargaining rights has struck a nerve across the state. For many, this is more than a balance the budget issue, but one which goes against human progress, dignified human progress. And the way that the bill was passed, he says, seems inappropriate. Are you surprised, Representative, by the magnitude of the protest?
No, not knowing as unions as they are, how they will go after something, and in their hearts, they believe they're totally right on it. But again, we had to look at the total picture. I think the history shows us that the federal government found the difficult situation in trying to have federal employees represented and then have them put people in control who then cater to their interests, and all of a sudden you get government out of control. And I know the analogy I look at, sometimes the stock market gets going to be way beyond their value, and all of a sudden there's a major correction, and that's how I look at this, a major correction. I think we've got enough other rules in place that as much as the employees think they're going to be unprotected, I think they will be protected adequately, and I don't see the majority of them, but public employees here are going to see a lot of change, but it's going to take some time to prove it one way or the other. As I told some of my local municipalities, that I said, if you go the other direction and somewhat can be looked at as abusing public employees, you're going to become the poster child for the union of abuse. So I don't think anybody's going to go at that. And the other thing that I've heard from my school districts, they said, well, we still need to attract the best teachers, so we're not going to take away everything because we're not going to get the best teachers. So they're gonna, most of them are going to stay pretty much with the way they were.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about philosophy of government for a moment, because sometimes it's hard to figure out what the truth is and whether it's something in the middle or it's one extreme or another. We've had a number of economists on this program who have said that we have entered a different phase in American life where those who have a lot, at the risk of being too simple about this, but I'll take that risk anyhow. Those who have a great deal, that wealth are the ones who are benefiting, that the concentration of wealth is something that we haven't seen since the beginning of the last century, actually, and that those are the people that we need to go to ask to do more for the common good rather than go to public employees, firefighters and teachers, et cetera, to ask them to give more. What do you think of that? Is there something to be said for taxing people who are doing very well more?
I guess it would be better answered by somebody in that position. I've never been in that position.
Neither have I.
Yeah. I've always had to work several jobs.
Well, let's find somebody and ask.
So, I think the more accurate answer could you'd have to find somebody in that position to really think. But the other thing I look at is, especially just going through a campaign last year, and so many people in the private industry have had to make drastic changes, either by losing their job or losing benefits, and then they turn around and it was commented to me about different entities in public employment on the advantages that they had, and they wish they were in that position. So you do have a good amount of people out there. And the other thing I have in my district is I think our demographics are probably the oldest in the state.
How are they?
For average age, and those, a lot of people are on fixed incomes. You might find some of the older folks going out there, and I'm using older folks, being 64 myself. but you find people having to go out and re-enter the market because of the tax levies on them. I know I've over some people that used to have shore property. Have and really thought they could live their lives out, seeing the sunset or the sunrise on different shores in Door County. Have talked to me about how they had to sell their property because they were just taxed out of it and had to move away, which in some other more reasonable areas. So, those type of things affect. You got that effect on everybody on the cost of government and how can you bring it in line. I know reading in the Green Bay paper just the other day that, now they're looking, I think, at a school superintendent and starting him out at, $200,000, or, I don't think our governor is about $130,000 or $140,000. He's got a much bigger entity to run than a school district.
Yeah. Well, when you find that person who's really, really wealthy, let me know, and I'll invite you back, and we'll talk about taxing that person and what they think about the common good and how they made the money. And I need to interview somebody like that. Well, I don't know anybody like that either.
Yeah, the other thing I just want to comment on that issue is I'm a president of a nonprofit child care center in Sister Bay.
Mm.
And if it wasn't for the wealthy people up here, we would not be afloat because we totally depend on donations, and the people have been extremely generous up here to keep us going, especially in these hard times. So, one thought is that if you go after them too hard, are they going to be able to afford the donations? And, Door County has a number of things, like our community auditorium depends on donations.
Mm-hmm.
Our YMCA depends on donations. Even though those people aren't painted in tax, but a lot of them, support us, with several thousand dollar donations every year, and that helps too. And and the focus of our child care center is trying to create a reasonable place where the working people can have a safe and
it's very important.
Yeah,
very important.
Well, you got that part of the issue too on the wealthy. A lot of them donate willingly to all these different organizations around the state and including public radio.
Let's go to Ed in Madison, and we thank them for doing that. Hi, Ed.
Hi. Hello there. Thank you. The one item that really got me angered from the governor's action deals with collective bargaining. And collective bargaining influences the vast majority of salaried people in this country. I would like to know, how did the legislators, or with whom do they negotiate their salary? and perks.
Representative Buzz?
They've been established, you know, the perks have been established and haven't been changed in years, except they did change in this last bill that was passed. They now have a reduced amount in their calculations of the retirement. So they voted for a loss there. I know even though there was a raise given in the term before, I think all of us in the legislature seen that the state employees had to give up furlough days. We all gave up, the equivalent in cash out of our, out of our salaries to, stay, even with the other people that had to do it.
I read somewhere, and you'll know if this is true or not, because we're going to be, I'm a state worker as well, that we're going to be affected by this fairly soon, that we will be paying more for pensions and health care. I read somewhere, and I can't remember where, that if you were elected to office, it doesn't affect you until, so you're elected and it's not going to affect you until you would be reelected, that the terms of your benefits would change. Is that true, or are you going to have a smaller paycheck in April as well?
My understanding, they can't change it until the next election.
Okay.
Something in the way the Constitution's written on that issue.
Okay. Thanks, Ed, very much for your call. We need to pause for a moment. We'll return. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Republican State Representative Gary Buys from Sister Bay, Wisconsin, is our guest this half hour. I do want to remind you, not that any of you, most of you will need any reminding, tomorrow is St. Patrick's Day, and we traditionally do a St. Patrick's Day program. Scott Simon from NPR called our guest the most eloquent man in the world. Isn't that an incredible description? Frank Delaney will join us. His latest book, A Novel of Ireland, is The Matchmaker of Kenmare. We'll also hear some music, and we'll play some poetry, and that's how I still... It's not dull, is it? It's the meaning of Ireland. It's good. It's all good. Tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Let's go to an email. And this is from Chris in Bailey's Harbor. I'm very concerned about the future of Medicaid services and the unprecedented control of Medicaid services that Dennis Smith will have, given the seasonal nature of employment in Door County and the high rate of unemployment and the reliance of Door County residents on Medicaid services. Does the representative share my concerns? It's a beautiful place, but the residents who work tirelessly to maintain that beauty will be harmed by Medicaid cuts. Representative Buys.
Well, as we go through the budget procedure, we'll do our best to, make sure that we do little harm as possible. But there is a large deficit there that has to also be addressed. It's my understanding that I believe any changes are going to have to also be approved by the feds. And that's something that was discussed, and I'm not sure the total part of that. Of that procedure, but as one of the things that was mentioned, that with federal money involved, that they also have to okay it before some major changes are made there.
Ray in Chippewa Falls. Hi, Ray.
Hi, good morning. I'd like to ask the representative if he has, this is a yes or no answer, really don't need a whole lot of extra. At any time since this election, been involved in discussions to defund public radio and Wisconsin public radio and Wisconsin public television?
I have not been privy to any of that conversation one way or the other.
Okay, that's on the record then.
And I'm also a donator to public radio.
Thank you. Thanks, Ray, very much. I guess you can count on his support then, which is the other part of that. Bill in Madison, hi.
Hello. I'm so mad I can hardly collect my thoughts right now. But I feel that this the political atmosphere is going to be p- poison for a very long time. Mm. I think he tried to, the guest tried to imply that this is just another cycle where one party has control, just like the opposite party had control for a while last time. And I've been in Wisconsin when Republicans again had full control of everything, but this time is different. We have a governor, and we have a lot of new members of the legislature and Senate who are hell-bent ideologically to turn Wisconsin into a right-to-work state like Mississippi and roll back. They believe that some idea of Nirvana was the 19th century robber barons. And I haven't seen this before, and I haven't seen such ideological rigidity before from either party in my lifetime, and I'm 60 years old. And as for you, Kathleen, I'm ashamed of you that you let him weasel out of the question about government political philosophy. He rambled on and on and on for what should have been a yes or no answer, and you allowed him to weasel out like that, and that's poor journalism on your part.
Oh, let's just try to be a little bit kind to each other about all of this. I mean, you can criticize me if you want, but we are trying to come to some kind of understanding about this. And if you want more information about Representative Bai's political ideology, please take that and run with it, Representative Bai.
Well, the gentleman has his opinion, and I guess I'm not going to sit on the radio here and try to debate it. I think that's what brings us to the problem that you originally said we were going to talk about is, instead of trying to find ways to work on these issues and get along, all of a sudden we want to try to create a heated debate. And, he has his opinion, and, he has the right to have his opinion. And, I think we need to move forward and take measures to get the state in line. And one of the ways we are looking at is how do you deal with public employees. There's a difficult way of doing it with the negotiating rights, so you have to curtail that or all of it and go from there. And I think somewhere down the line the pendulum will go back the other way where some things will be restored. At this point, we are at the point we are going, and I think it'll work out in the long run. But everybody's got their own opinion on those issues.
Yeah, I do think that he used a phrase that is with us now, and I'm not certain how we do move forward. Is political poison? There is something that I've never seen, and I've lived in this state for years and years and years. I've never seen anything like this before. I mean, I went up to get lunch yesterday afternoon in Milwaukee, and people are demonstrating in front of a bank. When in the world did you think that would ever happen?
Well, they believe that that's how they can get their point across.
Right.
If the business, I saw something on one of those ads you talked about, if they're supporting this, we're going to boycott you and that type of stuff. They believe that's the way to go. I can do to change their mind on that, but I wouldn't do it myself one way or the other.
We go to Doug from Boscobel. Hi, Doug.
Hi. I just got a couple comments here. I wanted to quote Thomas Jefferson warned us that a government big enough to give you everything you want is strong enough to take everything you have. And I know in some of the elections on all levels, voters seem to line up like lemmings at the edge of a cliff in favor of this boss culture movement. So my warnings for people in these upcoming elections is remember that if you lay down with dogs, you'll wake up with fleas. Thank you.
Let's go to John in Waukesha. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you?
All right, John. I'm all right. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
I wanted to bring up a couple things. First of all, I've always kind of prided myself in a family of being a moderate and seeing the positive of both sides. This whole stream of what's going on has really polarized my family, my business associates.
Right.
I am a business owner.
Yeah, it is polarizing. Yeah.
And what I don't understand is why, and I've said this to family, why there hasn't been one Republican who has said, let's look at all the people that are in Madison, look at all the people that are upset, and just for the Biden arbitration, would just say, let it go. Let it go for now.
All right. We have about 35 seconds left. Why didn't you say that? Just let it go for now. Representative Buys.
Well, I looked at a lot of the demonstrators. I noticed a lot of them were college kids. I saw the busload of people getting off from L.A., the busload of people getting from Peoria. The whole thing got out of, for me, got out of context by the people that were coming to protest. It got it got nationalized, I guess would be a term I would use, and, it just got way out of hand of what the original issues were. Or who the original interest was. It was more, looked like the national unions were trying to do something there for whatever their interest was and not really dealing with Wisconsin issues.
Mm. On that note, we have to say goodbye to you. Thank you for being with us, our guest this half hour, state representative from Sister Bay, Republican Gary Buys, and we thank him for his time. We thank Senator John Erpenbach for his time as well. Thank you, Chrissy Pease, for producing the hour. Thank you for your calls. We didn't get to all of your emails, but many of them, I'm sure, are on our Facebook page. Please join us for some fun on St. Patrick's Day.